Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Over the years, I have discovered that one of the most rapidly rejected efforts is the offering of unsolicited advice. People would just as soon not be advised unless they request it. Many who do request it really prefer someone to simply agree with them rather than really advise with them. Nonetheless, sometimes advice is what we need whether we want it or not. And advice on making decisions is one such matter. So here goes. There are some things over which we have no control. We have no power of choice. Some things are set. They're predetermined. They're foreordained. There's nothing that we can do about it. They're bound to take place. For instance, we have no power to control the rising and the setting of the sun, or that we shall live or die, be raised or judged, or exist in eternity. We cannot set the will of God, for that's already been done. Nor can we alter the fact that we have a duty to God and to our fellow man. That there exists good and evil in the world is not ours to control, although we have something to say about our little corner and whether we do good or evil. But there are many matters about which we not only may, but absolutely must, make decisions. God has created man with a power of choice. Man is spirit. He has a mind, an intellect, by which he can think and reason and determine and therefore decide. Furthermore, God holds man accountable for his decisions, and we will either enjoy or will suffer the consequences of our choices at the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. There is one decision that we face that is unavoidable. Friend, we have to decide what to do regarding Christ. Now, the very nature of Christ and His will demands that a decision be made. Matthew 6, verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and the mammon." Again, he said in Matthew 12 and verse 20, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Now, such statements demand the making of a choice where you will stand. The attempt to be neutral is impossible, because that's a decision not to be for him, which, he says, is to take a position against him. So any way one goes, he must make a decision about Christ. Now, decisions ought not be made hastily and rashly, especially those that are significant and have such a tremendous bearing on life and on eternity. We must be cautious, we must be careful, and yet at the same time willing to make the decisions that are necessary. But we need to know how to make good decisions. We need to know what to take into account. A decision is a personal matter, and each one must make it for himself or herself because nobody else can make it for them. We can advise one another, we can help one another, but ultimately the burden comes to rest upon the shoulders of each one alone. We hear people say, "It's my decision to make." And by that, they mean they have the right to decide. But by it, that also shows they have a responsibility to decide and cannot shift that responsibility to any other. We read of people facing decisions in the Bible. When Elijah, the great prophet of God, confronting Israel to decide whether they would serve God or Baal, he said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" 1 Kings 18, verse 21. The time had come when they could no longer straddle the fence, so to speak. Moses had to make a choice what he would do with his life. Hebrews 11 tells us, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had recompense of the reward. As Moses approached the end of life, he came before the people of Israel. He called upon them to make the right decision regarding service to God. He said, "See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall perish, that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Such is the reading from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. And a similar statement was expressed by Joshua to the people he led for so many years as he was about to relinquish the reins of leadership. In Joshua 24 we read, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now let us establish a few guidelines which will help us to make wiser decisions. The decisions we make reflect our character and our goals, our priorities, our values in life. We must consider the major and the important matters seriously because they have such an effect on us. We have to take into account our faith and our training and our conscience, and we will not be content with decisions that violate what we're convinced is the right thing to do. We have to take into consideration our effect upon other people. Our decisions must be made according to the answer to such questions, "From whence did you come?" Friend, we come from God. He is the Father of our spirits, Hebrews 12 and verse 9. And the question, "Why are you here?" Solomon says to fear God and keep his commandments, because this is the whole duty of man, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. And let us ask, "Where are you going?" The Bible teaches but two destinies open to us, heaven or hell, Matthew 25:46. Friend, the answer to these questions will determine what you consider yourself to be. Each of us is a soul that shall not only live on earth, but will exist in eternity. And we are worth more than all the world, according to the evaluation of Jesus Christ, Mark 8 and verse 36. Decisions ought to be made only after asking, "What would Christ have me to do?" After all, friend, he is the Lord. I have a duty to him, and so do you. What would he want in this particular matter? How will the way I decide affect my relationship with God and the church and my service as a Christian? Many people have taken up residences, assumed jobs, married mates, without proper consideration to such things, and the result has too often been spiritually disastrous. And we have an influence on others, those round about us, just like they have an influence on us. And while this influence cannot be allowed to be the overruling factor in decision-making, we have to consider others. Romans 14:7 tells us, "No man liveth to himself." Such decisions as your life's work, your marriage partner, your friends, your associates, your place of worship, they all will have a tremendous bearing on your happiness and your success in this world before God, and also on those around you. And too often we make decisions with only a view to the immediate conditions and circumstances and do not consider sufficiently the future and the long-range implications that follow. We cannot make decisions only thinking of the here and now, only considering this life. But what about after this life is over? What then? There's a story of a man who was speaking with his son about his son's future plans. He asked the boy what he intended to do. The son responded that he hoped to get a college education. Well, this pleased the father, who then asked, "What then?" Why, the son responded he expected to get a job. And that was fine, but what then? Well, he hoped that he would marry. And this was expected, but what then? Did he plan to rear a family? Well, that was nice, but the father again asked, what then? And after that, the son expected someday to retire. And this is customary, but again, what then? The son thought for a while, and he said, I suppose someday I will die. And the father said, that's right. What then? Friend, the things we decide must be decided with the inclusion of the reality that we shall be in eternity. We must ever ask, what then? What effect will the way I decide have on my family and on their welfare? Satan will take advantage of every situation in life if we allow it. He will drive wedges between us and those we love unless we consider them and what we decide. By now, we ought to see that decisions are crucial turning points in our lives. And while we ought not approach them with fear, we do need to realize that even a minor decision can sometimes turn us a certain direction. A direction that may not be apparent for some time later after we have traveled the road much further. We must consider our example before others, consider our faithfulness to God, our response to duty, to family, and the soul that shall be judged. Dear listener, in making decisions we show ourselves wise to consult with those who have experience, those who love us, those who truly seek our welfare, who want the best for us, whose lives have been godly, who have demonstrated that they know what does and does not really matter in life. Godly people are the best friends one can have. And as we have said, each must make his or her own decisions, but godly counsel is an asset. The counsel of the ungodly will not bless us, Psalms chapter 1. How foolish to seek guidance of those who fail, those whose hearts and minds reflect no real concern for the wishes of God. Why ask a divorcee how to have a good marriage? Why ask parents whose children have left every principle of good and right how to rear children? Why ask a man who has never done anything but fail in every endeavor he has undertaken how to succeed? Why ask the ungodly how to live before God in an acceptable manner? We deprive ourselves of some of the best information available when we shut ourselves off from the counsel of the wise and godly people around us. And no decision ought to be made without prayer. Christians, you see, have the right of prayer, the privilege to attract the attention of the one who oversees everything. Now, we believe in the providence of God. We know God cares. We trust His promises to provide and to protect. And we're asking for failure when we do not ask God for His guidance through His Word and seek His providential means. But there's another point about decision-making that experience tells us is something essential. Once we have considered the matter with the inclusion of the guidelines that we have mentioned, with caution, careful, considerate, prayerful, deciding with a view to God's Word and eternity, how it affects others. Once we make the decision, live with it without regret. Even if later it develops that it was not the best decision, You have no regret concerning it because you made it according to the best you could do at the time. As one goes through life and looks back at some of the decisions he has made, and hindsight is usually almost perfect, he sees where he might have done better if he had decided a different way than he did. But in addition to profiting from hindsight and seeing mistakes, he can know that he made his decision in the wisest and most righteous manner that he knew at the time, and then he has no trouble living with that decision. Like Paul, sometimes we have to forget those things which are behind, Philippians 3:13-14. Regret is a heavy burden to bear. We can be free of guilt, but regret is often our companion for life. We can avoid a lot of regret by approaching decision-making properly and then having the attitude that you did what you could at the time when you could. Some things might even be able to be undone. There are some things for which we only have one turn, however, and no second chance and cannot be undone. But if we will make decisions with these principles in mind, friend, we can accept whatever the results might be. Living right, that's a choice. It doesn't just happen. We have to make a conscious, deliberate decision to live right. Salvation is a deliberate decision. Such men as Agrippa and Felix and others tried to make no decision and thereby decided to remain lost. Life is something like going through a cafeteria line, taking this and leaving that. Then eventually there comes the time to pay for what you have chosen and taken. Let us choose wisely. Cain and Adam and so many others, they made some bad decisions to their ruin. Enoch and Abraham and Moses and Joshua and many, many others, they chose God's way. But when one follows the teaching of Christ, he will decide as he ought. Now, armed with this bit of advice, solicited or not, may it be that we will make better decisions in the future. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.